Good morning, and welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. You may notice that I have my apron on.
You know, I don't think I've seen that apron before.
Oh.
Do you have a new apron?
I do. I mean, I got it for Christmas, but I do.
It's not, you know, it hasn't been sullied yet.
No, it's not tattered.
And autographed by every sauce you've ever made.
Yeah, yes.
Well, it's nice.
Thank you.
And also, you actually have an apron on this
morning.
I know.
I've been slacking for a while.
You have been inappropriately dressed. I no longer own an apron. I used to have a kitchen full because an apron is one of the things that people who want to give you a gift know if you cook that you should have an apron. And there
I believe I've given you aprons.
Yes. I may have given them back. I don't know. I gave them all away. Because, I don't know, I don't even know why. I have nothing against aprons.
No, and then for me, like when I'm like, oh, I just want to lay around and eat bonbons, then like strapping on an apron is like, you know, that first step to, no, you're working.
That's right. It's a uni.
Where you're trying to get yourself to go.
Or an apron all the time, every shift when I worked in food.
Yep.
But, and kind of that's why it's like putting on your game face, right? But I don't want to be reminded of that at home. I'm a home cook.
Yeah.
don't make me think of it. I usually am thinking of dinner about 20 minutes before I need to start cooking it.
Wouldn't it have been great if I'd thawed that?
Yeah. Oh, I planned to do that, but no, not tonight. Yeah. Not tonight. What have you been cooking?
A lot of salads.
Yeah.
So in the past, I've gotten like just like a bee in my bonnet, or I don't even know. I guess that could be other places, those bees. But I remember a lifelong thing is I've wanted to have like a, in my back pocket, like a bread basket where everything is very diverse visually and taste-wise, and it's all delicious, and I know how to make it all without like even, you know, look. I don't make any mistakes. I've made it so often, you know, I don't really even have to look at a recipe. And that's not really ever happened.
that's a dream.
I know, and it's really hard. But all of a sudden, just the last few weeks, I'm feeling the same way about salads. And I don't have an arsenal of salads. I have salads. I can throw together an antipasto salad, and it's just fine. But I don't have an arsenal of really delicious salads. Salads are like soup for me. They're always, you know, what you have in the fridge.
Soup and salad and bread.
Yeah. And I remember my friend Georgia saying, you can't buy something when you make soup. You just can't go to the store. You have to use what you have. It's a rule.
Yeah,
you
know? Salad too.
Yeah, I've always kind of felt the same way about salad. So I've been making a lot of salads and just trying to find some that I really, really love, you know?
Yeah.
And I think what happened is I'm looking for recipes when I'm really hungry. And so everything sounded good, you know, so I printed a bunch of recipes and I made a bunch of salads and they were all like picnic fare. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's just because I was really hungry.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, macaroni and mayonnaise, that'd be great. You know?
Yum. Have some cheese cubes in there and then you would have all the glutinous.
Really, it has peas. I'm not making that up. And peas.
Oh my God.
So I think I've learned my lesson that I have to not be hungry when I shop for recipes on the internet.
Yeah, you have to not be hungry. But I will say, you know, we've talked about it's berry season.
Yeah.
And it's so exciting. Not just the fabulous weather, not just that summer feels like it's a moment away because it is, but also because strawberries.
Yeah.
And that's the first foray, you know.
Yeah.
Pretty soon we're going to have all the berries. But lately for me, and it made me think of it because you're talking about salads, tomatoes. Now you can get a good tomato, not
really?
From our neighborhood,
okay,
but from like down in the valley or the Yakima area or somewhere close. You can actually get a ripe tomato. The other day I just had a slice of bread cut in half, tomato and salt.
Okay.
So good. It's so good. There's really better ways to do a tomato sandwich, but that was the first ripe tomato. I'm like, oh, we're no longer just in cherry tomato season.
Yeah. We have some friends down in Gerhardt that grow early girl tomatoes.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just so good. They're all so perfect. They're not like, it's not like some tomatoes where 2/3 of them are just rotten before, you know, they even get ripe. They're just such a dependable and delicious tomato. We trade them whatever they want, like whatever they want for those tomatoes.
Oh.
Do you need another dog?
So good. And, really... Caprese salad, if you have good tomatoes, you don't even have to worry about anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, just that kind of thing. Last night I made a gigantic green salad because I was cleaning out the hydrator.
See?
The hydrator.
You don't normally call it the crisper, the hydrator. You call it the vegetable hospice.
Yes. Well, I had mixed greens. I had arugula. I had spinach. I had all that stuff. And some elderly carrots and a couple of little cucumbers. And I mean, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Some leftover black olives, like I had a... what do you call Tupperware when you don't want to say Tupperware? You know what I mean.
One Nameless of those containers. Plastic storage containers.
Oh my gosh, cumbersome. Anyway, I had an entire container in the refrigerator holding like 6 olives.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
really, it's ridiculous. Yeah. So just putting everything in that and then making a vinaigrette and calling it good. And I like leftover salad. I mean, I will have that for breakfast.
I do too. I don't care that it's a little wilted.
No,
I was raised on wilted salad, you know?
Yeah, on purpose.
Yeah, but... with the hot dressing, yeah.
Yeah, there would be no leftovers if I did that. That is so good.
Yeah.
Yipes. I need to be doing that. There's so much good greens, and I really like that with leaf lettuce of some kind, you know?
Especially when the lettuce is so tender and new.
Yep. I bet it would be great with all of the chicories, too. Any kind of radicchio would probably be great with that
chicory
bacon.
And radicchio. Those are fun words, aren't they?
They are. I don't think that they're both Italian. What's chicory? I don't even know.
It has a CH, so it makes it fun. Chicory and radicchio. La, la, la,
Isn't
la, la.
Chicory something that you find in certain kinds of coffee? Is that true?
I think so.
Yeah, I do,
too. It was in... some kind of New York Times puzzle this morning.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
it
was some foraging
yet.
Puzzle.
Oh.
But I had trouble with it because it was all things they forage on the East Coast.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's
New York.
It's entirely different. It was like chicory and ramps, and we don't have those here.
No, we don't. Although I wish we had ramps. That would be great.
Yeah.
But we have, I'm sorry, New York, but we have salmon. We
Boo-hoo,
have the
New
best
York.
Salmon yeah. and yeah. the best yeah. crabs. You guys have wonderful stuff on the East Coast, but we eat better here.
Yeah.
We just do. I remember when Tom and I used to work on the road for a living, and our work would take us occasionally to New Jersey and all up and down the East Coast. And it was always at that time, because that was the 80s and early 90s, at that time in... the Garden State.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost impossible to get a fresh salad or any fresh vegetables as a side on the plate. We would get what I remember getting actual canned peas in a diner in New Jersey. Yeah, it was just the weirdest
thing.
It's
like thing. If you were going to have vegetables, they were going to be on pizza.
We were like, what are they growing in their garden here? What's going on, New Jersey? I'm sure everything's changed. Everything changed in the 80s. You know, we got Nouvelle and all kinds of stuff. So
Alice Waters was born.
Yeah, really?
Not born, but, you know,
oh, yeah,
her,
yeah,
her
yeah.
restaurants became I know. Popular.
Yeah. And now everybody has a fresh tomato in season.
Yeah.
I would hope.
It's so great.
It is so great.
There's a white bean puree that I make with garlic and rosemary, and I really like it. There's some Parmesan cheese, a little bit of lemon, and then so that's a separate thing. And then tomatoes with just salt, pepper, a little bit of garlic oil, and then a lot of fresh mint. And so I'll use that for bruschetta, toasted bread, and then the bean paste, and then the tomatoes. And I think that's really good, but boy, the quality of the tomatoes really matters.
Yeah, it totally matters. I am currently craving BLTs because if it's a good tomato, there might not be a better sandwich if there's a good tomato.
Yeah, yep.
So, yeah.
And then the new lettuce.
You know, talking about the bean dip makes me, I don't know why it makes me think of this.
I don't know. A bean dip.
A bean dip. Fresh pickles is another thing. Anything freshly pickled now, because there's so many great veggies to have on the side. And I was thinking, I have chicken in the freezer, like boneless, skinless chicken thighs.
I love those.
I do too. They're all purpose.
Yeah.
But I also, I mean, it's ridiculous to buy them that way. I think that, you know, it would, they are always, everything, if you eat meat, it's better on the bone.
Yeah.
It always
Except,
is.
Except, I don't know. I think chicken thighs, I don't know. I think that they're really good when they're boneless and skinless. And I grill them that way. And I like them that way. So most things, are better on the bone. But I don't know. I think it's because they're thinner. They don't have the bone in the middle.
Yeah.
And then they just cook faster. So they're,
they totally cook faster.
Yeah. So they're a lot more tender, because I think that thighs can get rubbery when you cook them too long. So there's a couple ways. I really like to grill them. And I'll salt and pepper them, and then put whatever teriyaki sauce you want on them and grill them that way. And then another thing that I really like is I will grill them, and then I... come on, brain. I take a mixture of half, 1-to-1, sugar and oyster, oyster sauce, Chinese oyster
sauce.
Yeah. So half to half, because oyster sauce is super salty and not sweet at all.
Yeah.
And then, so this actually dirties a lot of pan, but I grill the chicken thighs, and then I put them in a wok, or they can go in a saute pan too, with some of that sauce. And then you just toss it around, like stir fry it until it's, but they're big hunks of it, until it's, the sauce is quite sticky. So it you know, reduces it, but not traditional reducing. It just gets
it's
sticky,
like a glaze,
and not
right?
liquid. Yeah. And then I just hit it with just a ton of fresh green onions. And I think that's really delicious.
Yum.
It's a good way to make chicken wings too.
Yum. I was thinking about schnitzeling.
Schnitzeling.
Because you don't have to do all the pounding like you do with the breast. You know, the boneless thighs are kind of flat. You have a few lumps you can pound out. But I think it would be great to schnitzel them.
I think that's...
And then make up some fresh pickles.
The best action verb that we have ever had on the show is now schnitzeling.
Oh, you could use it for so much. You know,
here I go schnitzeling along the leaves so green.
I grew up with a dad who would say, he grew up in Hell's Kitchen in New York, and there were so many ethnicities of people there. But some of his neighbors when he was growing up were German, and he learned from them to say, you've had the schnitzel, which means you're done. You know, done. You've had the schnitz. Tom and I have shortened it to you've had the schnitz. We say to the dogs when they were like, we swear to God we didn't eat.
You didn't
we're
feed
still
us.
Hungry.
This hour.
Yeah, right. So I think of schnitzel very fondly. Aww. You've had the schnitzel.
So you said that you'd put pickles in it. What kind of pickles are you going to
make? No, not in it. But I just think that schnitzel goes really well with something like kraut on the side, or pickled cucumbers, or pickled red onions, or I don't know. There's something. I think because it's fried and it's something to combat that extra, you know.
One of these salads, I'm going to try to remember which one, because I brought all the recipes and they were all pretty much the same. But they had you pickle some red onions, just like you normally do with...
Yeah.
You know, vinegar and a little bit of sugar, but they use cumin, and it was really good.
Oh.
Yeah, cumin seeds. And I was thinking, oh, I don't want to use cumin seeds, because I pictured them getting stuck in my teeth, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But no, it was just fine, and it was a really good addition. I liked it.
There are some really good recipes for salads that mix greens and tomatoes with stone fruit.
Yeah.
And we're about a month out from a stone fruit season, but it doesn't hurt to get prepared.
Yeah.
I think.
Line up your recipes.
I want to take a quick sec and interrupt this scintillating conversation by reminding everyone that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. You know what I'm going to say to you.
Go to
the websites, KMUN.org and NorthCoastFoodWeb.org. There are wonders to be held there. So
I found the recipe. So I like celery. There's a lot of people that don't like celery.
I love celery.
But I mean, I like celery. It's not like it's not like a little afterthought in an antipasto salad or something like that for me. So I really like beef, stir-fried Chinese style with celery. Excuse me, I got the hicking ups. So just pound it out like you're going to schnitzeling. Hit it with a little bit of baking soda to velvet it up a little bit, slice it up, stir fry it, and then with celery and then a dark sauce and some garlic black bean paste. It's just really, really good. I really like celery. But this salad is a white bean, feta, and quick pickled celery salad.
Oh, I haven't
that's
pickled
what it was.
Celery.
And I think it's from the New York Times, so that's what it's called, white bean, feta, and quick pickled celery salad. And this one was good. And you just, at the very beginning, you take celery, a lot of celery, well, four stalks, but it's a small salad, and then a red onion, and then you put vinegar, sugar, and cumin seeds, and a little bit of salt, and then you pickle those for, 15 minutes, half an hour, and then you add the rest of the stuff, which is feta, and then cannellini beans, and
uh-huh.
I like those. And then this is, so the recipe calls for, and I'll read it exactly, 1 cup chopped tender herbs such as mint, parsley, cilantro, dill, or a mix. And so I understand that you need to be flexible, you know what I mean? But I always wish that the recipe writer would write it how they like it to start with, because if you put cilantro in something versus dill, it's going to be entirely different. You know
what I
mean?
That's right. And the amounts of things are really radically different, even if you're okay with the flavor profile.
And so I would just rather the recipe writer put what he or she liked the best and then say, but you can use any combination of these herbs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I want to make it how they envision it to start with. I'm not necessarily looking for just an open template that might work.
And people who are recipe developers, when it finally comes down to all the trials and tribulations mm-hmm. to get to the recipe that they really are proud enough mm-hmm. to publish, they know what tastes good to them.
They
don't need to keep it a secret. And they don't need to not be specific so that we feel welcome to do what we're going to do anyway.
You
don't need to give us permission. Tell us what to do.
But anyway, that was the cumin in the quick pickling of the celery, and then the red onion. That was really, really good. I like salads that have those cannellini beans or chickpeas in them. I like those a lot.
I'm telling you, chickpeas are, I swear, I just would like one recipe one time without chickpeas in it. It's in everything I look up. I like
poor
chickpeas.
Marianne.
I like them.
But there's too many?
Well, they're in everything. I don't know if you've noticed that. It seems like everything I look up, I have an ingredient so I want to use. So I'm trolling through all of my websites for that particular ingredient, and it is always that ingredient and a can of chickpeas.
Yeah.
I swear.
Well, and then I pretty much use the white beans and the chickpeas interchangeably, Yeah, I think to myself, do I want to chew that much? And if the answer is no, then I put the white beans in. But you know what I mean? Sometimes the chickpeas are a lot of work.
They're really good, though, toasted and, tossed in a little olive oil and whatever, chili and pepper and salt. Yum. They're chips.
So do you put them in the oven and toast them?
Yeah.
I've seen that and I've never done it. I've been lazy.
You can also, pan toast them.
Okay.
And they're a really lovely snack, or you can buy them in
a
bag.
I know Elton Brown really talks them up as a snack that way.
Oh, yeah.
I think he puts, I'm trying to think if it's a dill, but salt and pepper, and I can't think whatever, but I kind of think it's dill, though that sounds weird when I say it out loud.
One of the green herbs.
Yeah, something. He put something with it.
I don't know what I was looking at the other day that sounded so good, but it had dried mint in it. Do you ever even buy dried mint? It's not something I think of as being... I think of it like I think of dried basil. Like,
yeah,
why?
like it's like 1/18 of the value of the fresh thing.
Yeah.
You know, I know that I own dried mint, but have I used it in the last 5 years? No. And I really, really like fresh mint. It's just everywhere when you want to buy it. You know, grow it in the summer, and then if it's not there, you just go buy it.
I've been...
Every place has it.
I was stunned talking about herbs and spices, and I know that we need to rotate. I know that would... To be accurate about that, I would need to know when I got it.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a spreadsheet or anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and you know how you lose trust in something?
Yes.
Because they say you're supposed to change them out every 6 months.
Yeah.
Well, if... I mean, okay, like I look at, there are single origin spice companies,
yes,
and they have online sites, and like they're I buy those oregano buds, which I really like, and I put them in like a pepper grinder that's dedicated to them, and that's what I use for oregano. I think it's delicious, but I know that they're only available in the spring because it's a crop and it grows in the spring. And if you're telling me to change them every 6 months, I'm going to get 6-month-old ones,
yes,
in the winter, you know?
Yes.
And so my trust is just blown for a spice changing talkers, because I'm not going to change them every 6 months. The crops aren't grown that often. They're grown once a year, you know?
Well, if they still taste like, I think that that's the thing.
Yeah.
But I was really surprised to read Sam Sifton saying that one of the things that degrades pretty reliably is paprika. And then after
like
a few months,
what
it gets
bitter. What do
they call
that? A fast fader.
Yeah. And I think that I have like 4 flavors of paprika on my spice tray. And some of them I haven't used for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
So probably not so good. I guess the deal is that I should just like dip my finger in there and taste it.
Well, and then here's another thing I don't know, because if you... You know, dump your paprika after 2 months and you go to the spice store, they've bought a 50-pound bale of it, you know, and so you're just getting the same thing that you bought before.
Yes.
There's that, you know. And then there's the other thing to consider, because, you know, I love a party. And that is just the where you buy your spices. There's a new thing that people have been talking about, just how much like chemical and heavy metal contamination there is in them, because they come from the soil and soil in places where they don't have rules, you know. And that's another thing to think about. There's so much to think about with spices.
With everything.
Yeah.
with everything related to food specifically, we're talking about here, but really with everything, with a capital E.
Yeah.
I don't have brain room. I've reached my capacity, plus I have this extra space that I'm saving for guests. So I'm not gonna load unnecessary stuff in there. So for me, buying something, I know who grew it.
Yeah.
I know who went into the water and caught it.
Yeah.
I know stuff. That's the thing.
And as far as spices, that's why I like single origin spices so much, because I go to the website, and if it's on the website, I know that it's new. It's something that they just grew and they just got from that one farmer that they think does the best job. And then I should get it then, because it's not going to be available for the next 11 months, because that's then the crop will come around again. And so it's not just that they find the farmer that they think has the best tasting spices. That's really important. But it's also that it's fresh when it's on the website.
Do you think you can freeze dried herbs?
I don't see a reason to take up that space in your freezer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't have freezer space to do that.
They aren't very big, are you? I mean, they're tiny.
I know.
They would be in the smallest container.
I know. Well, I don't know that it would do them any good.
No, I just was wondering on things. Because the thing is, unless you buy whatever amount the purveyor is selling to you, you can't just buy the 4 teaspoons that you need. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You know what I would worry about is in freezing and thawing, condensation wrecking everything.
Oh, yeah, right. Of
course. I would worry about that. Yeah. So I don't think that I would do that because spices and herbs are expensive.
Yeah, they are. They are so expensive that you want them to be as perfect as they can possibly be. Otherwise, why bother salt and pepper? You know what I mean? It's hard to beat that. It's hard to beat salt and a fresh tomato, I got to say.
Yeah. So, entirely different subject.
Yeah.
When I make dinner, you know, I always ask Dale to set the table. So I tell him when it's time. And so the other night, I asked him to set the table. I'm like, honey, you know, do you want to set the table? And he's like, no, which he has never done ever. You know what I mean? And I'm just looking at him like, I'm sure my face said, should I throw this dinner away? You know what I mean? But then he said, why would I want to bake a potato? Oh. And so his earring.
Fair question.
I know his hearing aids had died. And so he got new hearing aids, but he had loners until they came in. So he has his loner hearing aids in. You want to set the table? Why would I want to bake a potato?
Is that your job? Oh my God.
So it's been funny around our house with the loner hearing aids, which are not quite ideal.
Oh my gosh.
They just kind of remind him that he has to have something in his ear.
It's a new hearing aids appreciation course.
Yes, yes.
They'll be so welcome when they come.
Here at Food Talk and Loner Hearing Aid radio show.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm thinking what is new at the... I'm looking forward to seeing what's new at the farmer's market.
Yeah.
This coming week, because every single week it's something.
Yeah.
So nice. So nice. I'm hung up right now on cucumbers.
Oh,
and
really?
There's nothing even better than sweet onion and cucumbers just pickled.
Yeah.
I mean, I could eat bowls of that.
Yeah.
But last night in a perfectly normal tossed green salad, I put like 3 cucumbers because I really like them.
Yeah, they're just really delicious.
Like, yeah.
I think you know that I absolutely, with all my cells and fiber, hate bitter melon. And if I get some bitter melon, then I hate cucumber for like 6 months. And it's so sad because I love cucumber.
You just held it against
the bitter melon is too close to cucumber. And I love cucumber and I hate bitter melon. And then it just brings cucumber over into the bitter melon realm.
They take an undeserved rap.
Yeah, yeah.
For and your
it,
error.
It takes like 6 months before I can eat them again. Just like if I accidentally eat a bad egg, it's 6 months before I can eat an egg again. Yeah.
Oh, that... At least 6 months. That's a bit. Yeah. Yeah. No.
You know how that chef on the Food Network, Guy Fieri, how he hates eggs so much and he's got diners, drive-ins. Okay.
Yeah, I know who he is, but I didn't
know. People are always feeding him eggs and he just hates them. And it's just how I feel after I've eaten, like had one bite or one sniff of a bad egg. Then I exactly know how he feels. I can relate. Whereas otherwise, I'm like, eggs are great. What's wrong with you?
Eggs are seriously, we have eggs every day in one way or another. Yeah. If it's not for breakfast, it might be for dinner.
Yeah.
You never know. Yeah. If you had a non-egg breakfast, look out because dinner's coming because they're fast.
Yeah.
And yes, everything's gotten really expensive, but compared to a lot of other proteins, including tofu.
Well, eggs, I mean, okay, now I have to think. They are 15% of the price that they were, you know, a year ago.
Yeah.
So they're much, much cheaper.
Yeah, they're cheap. Hey, we're out of time.
No.
Yes, it's...
That's not egg-cellent.
We're making room for Lost Highways, so we got to get out.
We love Lost Highways.
We do. Do you want to sing us out?
Sure. I'm driving my vegetables, I'm driving my green edibles, I'm driving my vegetables around. I am driving my broccoli, my Fibonacci broccoli. That's Romesco. Driving a bushel of corn home, and it has tomatoes, and it has lettuce, and it has chickpeas.
Thank you, Linda.